Greetings, this is James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great show tonight. I've got a few announcements I need to make before we get started. As far as upcoming events, we've got this Wednesday, May 25th, we have Ashley's weekly teleconference healing series with Star Family Intensive, Connecting with the Pleiadians, moved from last Wednesday due to preparation for ambassador training. So that's coming up. We've got the next Skywatch weekend is June 9th to 12th, and I'll be in the middle of doing the ambassador training when this airs. And we've also got tonight is May 28th, last chance for early bird registration for eSETI 2016 conference. And my guests tonight, Peter and Solrita, will be at the eSETI conference, and we'll be doing some workshops soon after that the following weekend. So for the weekend of July 8th to the 10th. And I'll be in contact in the desert June 3 to 6. And a lot of new information about the Anunnaki and why they're here and these 11th dimensional beings that are showing up. So that's going to be interesting. So if you want more information, go to privateinvitationeseti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationeseti.com. And we'll get into the bios here. Peter Maxwell Slatter is an experienced and co-founder of eSETI Australia. He has an overwhelming amount of UFO footage and evidence. He personally has hundreds of sightings and multidimensional contact experiences. Solrita is a known ET communicator and has special ability to be able to connect with otherworldly beings. She also speaks star language with extraterrestrials. She's a clairvoyant since a young age. She's always been seen beyond our dimension, and today she helps others do the same. Along with Peter, she's a co-founder of eSETI Australia. So, I mean, they've been regulars on our show. We've had a lot of shared a lot of information getting out there. So with any further ado, Peter and Sarita, are you with us?
Yeah, how you going, mate?
Hey. Hi, James.
Hey, it's great to hear from you guys again. Long time no see.
Yeah, since you were last over here in Australia doing the tour.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm still recovering, I think.
It sounds like you've got a lot of work there at the ranch too at the moment. A lot's happening along with a lot of contact as well.
Yeah, I walked out last night. I looked up and just for like 2 minutes, and I saw five ships. So, you know, it was really busy. And the rest of the crew went out and Skywatch, and they just said they saw one ship after another. So they're gearing up for the ambassador training this weekend, that event. And they always, the energy's building right now off the scale. So, I'm curious what's happening in Australia. Are you guys feeling the same thing? It's like the energy is just off the scale right now on the planet.
Yeah, we're getting the same thing going out on the back deck at night, still getting a few daytime crafts too. But yeah, the nighttime ones seem to be picking up in intensity and size. But also, you know, on those same nights, a lot of the time we're having experiences happen kind of between worlds, you know, half waking, half sleeping, in and out of those kind of other worlds.
Yeah, it was definitely like there's been a huge pickup, and especially I'm sort of getting the heads up before the volcanic and earthquake activities happen with the energies pressing on us at the moment. And from stuff like that compared to the sightings we're getting, actually since you've left, I've probably got I don't know how many daytime videos. They've actually been putting the stuff on Mexican TV along with Solrita filming the same stuff as well because she's also got the same camera now.
Oh yeah, James, I went and bought the same camera you and Pete have got too.
And it's been phenomenal, the quality and how close they're getting, and people can go and see these themselves at either eseti.org, esetiaustralia.org, or they can go to Sol's website or my website. But we've also been capturing paranormal activity in the home with the infrared cameras as well. So there's going to be lots that we're going to be revealing at the eSETI Ranch once we get over there as well for the conference. There's definitely a lot of big pickup going on with activity.
Yeah, we've had a lot of ravens here lately, so you know that's getting interesting. The we're seeing that too here. I noticed Joseph and Ashley are talking about that as well. They keep seeing, you know, out of the side vision, there's beings, and we have beings running by the windows really fast. And we go, "Who is that?" And we go right, you know, they're going in a certain direction. We walk around the corner to see who's out there, and there's nobody there. And we a lot of that we're seeing beings moving really fast and you know, darting about the property, and so You know, it is. It's definitely stepping up. The veils between worlds are getting really thin right now.
Oh, definitely. We were experiencing what you just described at your place as well as, you know, you witnessed it here as well when you were here. So definitely there'll be sometimes you'll be able to look directly at it and then sometimes it'll be caught in your peripheral. I think the latest thing that happened was this morning I woke up to the Elohim manifesting in this room after we got woken up by the young fella. Sol had to go and make sure he was right, and they were both actually having sort of bad dreams, both Sol and him, and I was just in a state of clearing, I felt like things were being cleared up, so we actually had this, you know, the light blue light beings, as I call them, come through and just clean up the energy. So it seems like there's things on different levels. I think after the retrograde we've just had as well, the five of them or whatever's going on, especially with the huge meteor shower that went for over a month, there's definitely a lot of energies out of whack, but it's the purging process to get to the, you know, the new stage where we're all going.
And there was also, we had an experience where we saw some crafts outside the other night and then came back and went to sleep. And I woke up to, Pete was having something happen. There was contact going on. And I woke up to, it was like two star beings that were there. And they were putting the symbol of the Hebrew symbol, the Tav, which is the end of the alphabet, which symbolizes the end of something or the beginning of something new. And I was getting that placed on my shoulder, sort of like overlaid over the top of two stars, which is interesting because with acupuncture and things, people talk about that being one of the points where the soul's anchored to the body, or one of the points where the soul will actually leave the body too. And that was weird because that was tying in with a lot of Pleiadian contact that we're having.
Yeah, it does seem like everything is just really speeding up. I've noticed too, there's a combination of things going on. One, you know, we're having a startup with the powers that were on the way out trying to harass us again as well. It's just unbelievable. These guys are psychopaths and they're lawless and they're just unbelievable. But it's not going to be a problem. You know, we'll continue. But I've just seen with the stepping up of energy that the dark hearts or whatever you want to call them, the powers that were, are really getting a bit crazy. And they're actually setting themselves up with the things that they're doing, because they're doing things that are so crazy and so out of line and so out of whack. And you can just watch that in politics right now, especially in American politics. You can just, it's just like everything is coming up. You know, all the dirty laundry and all the dirty deeds of the past are all surfacing, and I'm just blown away at how a lot of these guys can just, or girls, I should say, can just stand there and continue to spew out lies when they're flat-ass busted and nobody's believing it, but with no shame whatsoever. It's just unbelievable. It's like a pathological condition or something, you know.
I think it's part of the way they operate. And I think at the moment, too, from my understanding, I think there's going to be some form of disclosure happening. I think it comes from the people, as you know more than anyone. But I think there's so much out there now that they've got to keep up the lying game and the manipulation game to the point where the evidence is just, you can't even compare the evidence for what people like yourself, Sol and myself, and thousands, if not really millions around the world are experiencing in terms of the ET and multi-dimensional reality. But there's going to have to be like something happen soon, I feel, where they're going to have to disclose something. But I want people to be aware that they're not going to start telling the truth to you now. They're going to say, look, maybe the alien presence or whatever exists, but it's going to have a spin to it to where it suits their agenda to continue the manipulation and everything else. And this is where we think we've seen it before with the politicians lying, but I think they're going to actually step it up even more than what they have.
Yeah, and it's just going to put egg on their face. I know one thing I think is kind of interesting, the International UFO Congress, you know, definitely did not invite me back. I didn't expect to be invited back, actually. But what I found out, you know, they have the good old boy club, the good old boy network. And it's sad because that's a form of censorship, because they're just telling the same old story over and over and over. And they're censoring any new information. The fact that contact is happening now, you know, and we don't have to go back to some abduction experience or Roswell or things like that. And it's interesting, the community censors itself, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, it blows me away, the overwhelming amount of evidence that I showed at the International UFO Congress, And even the fact that on stage when they're filming that, I actually turned into a light being, and they actually caught it on film, where I turned into this green and white light, or green and blue light. You couldn't even see me. All you could see was a microphone and a bright light. And, you know, all of these things happen. I mean, it's like in your face, and they still cannot just take the next step. They can't let go of the past and get on with the future. And it's just an amazing system in place that I'm just blown away at it. And everybody's out there trying to gain acceptance and approval, you know, in this field. But right now, the way I look at it now, the field is so screwed up. Why do I even want to deal with them anymore?
I agree, man. Me and Sol have been talking about this, and I'm actually at the same place as you, though. You've been doing this for way longer than what Sol and I have. But it seems that all they want is the same researchers over and over talking about the same events, and the people who are actually having contact, they want to push to the side because they want to stick to what suits them and what they think will bring the people in. Now, me and Sol probably wouldn't have done any talks here if it wasn't for you coming to Australia, because that was part of the deal that we did the workshops and talks with you. Mm-hmm. But like, we did one of Australia's biggest events about a year ago, but besides that, nobody will touch us yet. We're going through the contact now, and I've said this to some of the groups before that, you know, you guys are talking about cases that are 20, 30, 40 years old. I said, why don't you come and investigate me and see it for yourself and see something in the now, just like you've got going on at the ranch. It's very frustrating, and Sol and I get more response and are actually more well-known and have more people contacting us actually from America and the UK than Australia. And Australia's got a situation, I think, a bit worse than America, in terms of, in America, the people help each other. They, you know, they pat each other on the back. Here in Australia, as soon as you're known for something or whatever, we call it the tall poppy syndrome, where they will cut you down as soon as you're up. And it's just really frustrating. But I agree that it's a shame. But I think there will be a cycle too, where groups like that will come back and want you to talk. I see it with when the late Dolores Cannon, MUFON wanted to get rid of her years ago because, you know, it was too far out there. But then later on in the later years, they started working with her, and because they saw how much value there was in hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. I think there's going to be a little bit of a cycle. It's just, you know, I'm almost done with the UFO field, so to speak. I'm more wanting to just help other experiences and that sort of thing. Which is where I think things lie at the moment, along with, you know, doing CE5s and workshops, because I think it's just getting to the point it's not productive anymore unless we're working with people like yourself who want to have conferences and do the work, and, you know, you've got the evidence. It's just people don't want to see it.
Yeah, I wonder about, you know, it's like beating a dead horse, and how long are people going to watch people beat a dead horse, you know, until they go, you know, this is getting old, you know? Yeah. And I think that's where we're at right now, is that they're finding out that they can't continue beating this dead horse, because there's a lot of people that just don't care, and they're not coming to these conferences anymore because there's no new information.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely time for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in terms of contact, have you had what's been going on there in terms of for you guys? Because we haven't had a chance to speak since you left for America, so maybe we can compare some things going on at the ranch compared to here, and see and show the people maybe some correlations.
You know, what we're doing now is there's a lot of different beings coming in.
Yep.
You know, a lot of different groups, and we're getting these beings that are just, it's almost a whole planet of counselors. I mean, that's what they do. They're extremely advanced beings. They're called the Talizans or something. I think it was the Talizans. That was one group that started coming in, and they're here to assist people, you know, and as we go through these changes. And then we have the latest thing we've been having is these 11th dimensional beings, and they seem to be, I'm not sure who these guys are. They feel like Elohim, but they might even be beyond that.
Yeah. There are ones beyond them too.
Yeah, and they're returning. There's ships here now. They just came in, and they said they're going to be really present by, you know, the June, you know, the first week of June, I think it is when, you know, right after that, within the first 2 weeks of June, or I can't remember the exact date, but I have a feeling it was the 9th or something that they were really going to make themselves known. Now, I don't know what that means to an 11th dimensional ship, because obviously if they're in the 11th dimension, very few people are going to be able to see them or be aware of their presence, but somehow they're going to make their presence very well known when they do return. And I know all the other ones have been waiting for this. This is like this big event they've been waiting for, is this group coming in, and they've got something under their sleeves. I don't know if this is what they're calling the event where everything just shifts, you know, where we hit the critical mass or the 100th monkey and this ship pushes us through over the edge, or what kind of abilities this ship happens. We need to research more of it, but you know, it's definitely coming in. And what I'm seeing is just that all of the old programs, you know, the old draconian law we've been under and the systems and everything are just being turned upside down right now.
Yeah, that sort of correlates a bit with what we've been seeing with, you know, a clear up happening, preparing for, you know, the next big thing or that shift or change. We've been seeing heaps of Andromedans around, and we tend to get the Andromedans come in more when it's like clearing out the old crap or like vibrating above, you know, sort of the muddy water and into the clearer vibrations. The other thing we've been experiencing more is like the angelic realms. So there is like Andromedans that do have an angelic presence, and then you've got blue Andromedans too, and some humanoid ones. Another thing we've been experiencing just more like the last few weeks has been sun beings, which they seem to appear like an angelic presence, but more like a white light rather than a golden light, which I'm seeing more with the gold seems to be more associated with the Andromedans. But this white light, it is so blinding and so amazing. And it really, it's going to that next level to keep that vibration going higher, to keep it clearing out. I also see them coming in and helping to hold the energy from where they're coming from, helping to project that and bring that onto Earth too. So it's kind of like connecting the dimensions.
Yeah.
And just one thing too, there's, as you know, James, there's different variations of, or different vibrations of the Elohim, and I've been shown how these portals, these high-level portals which access to other universes, not that are in our same space and time in terms of this universe with these different vibrations, but the other universes, the other cell of a greater intelligence, the Elohim are gatekeepers of those areas too, allowing certain things to come in and not to come in. So it's a good chance that it may be a variation of that coming through, but they have explained to me also that how far they are from us in terms of evolution, there are beings how far they are from us above them. So there's definitely different levels of that as well. But just quickly, I was getting shown this when you were talking about the 11th dimensional beings there on the property in the area. They'll show me maybe set up a couple of triangle crystal grids, two overlapping triangles, which will set a certain geometric vibration for them to come through for those that, what you say, to rise to the occasion to be able to sense or match them. So maybe take that on board, because that was just something I was getting shown just then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They're definitely, I know, you know, the way they work, you know, people go, well, when's the ship going to land? We're all going to get on it. And I tell them, well, the higher dimensional beings are actually working through consciousness and energy and with the grids, you know, on the planet and the consciousness grids, and they're collapsing the old 3D draconian system that's here. And actually they're removing, you know, the ones that put that in and are upholding that grid, you know, and, you know, putting an end to tyranny. But you're not going to, you know, see them come down with lasers blasting and swords and, you know, lopping off heads or something. That's what a lot of people want to see. And although I wouldn't mind seeing that in some cases, you know, you know, they just don't work that way. They don't. And it's up. You know, we need to rise to the occasion if we're going to be working with them. And you know, we have to do our process and our homework and clean up our closets, you know, and raise our frequency so we can, you know, actually engage them and work with them. And but I just see that over, you know, as we were talking earlier about the good old boy club, it's like there's no talk at all about healing the past, about cleaning up the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions and rising to the occasion. You're not hearing any of that. All you're hearing about is the same old story. You know, I got abducted, you know, I saw a craft, I saw parts, you know, I saw, you know, I saw radar blips, you know, I saw, you know, and you're just going, okay, you know, that's great. I think we've done that, you know, and I don't want to demean them or talk down about that. But I mean, it's like how long, I believe this is 2016, you know, and we're still looking back in 1940. I mean, at what point do we just go, okay, it happened?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It depends on, like, as you know, why do the same thing if it's not working? So, for example, those stories and those experiences and those people, very valuable information, very important information. But it's like watching the same TV episode over and over, and it's like, yeah, it might be cool. It's got some validity to it. And some good information, but it's only going to take you so far. We've got to look at the whole picture and from there start to tackle things other ways as a civilization, or else we're just going to keep repeating the same thing over and over, which is we're going to be at a stalemate and a standstill in terms of our evolution and where we go from there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like going back to the old beginning of Star Trek. You know, there's some cool stuff in there and everything else. And, you know, they're classics and stuff like that, but you know, we've got the Next Generation, we've got Deep Space Nine, we've got all these new ones that are just like outrageous, you know, in the information they're bringing through. And but still people are you know, and what I think about is that people that are putting on these conventions is like, let's say, you know, if you're going to go do the old Star Trek thing, yeah, you know, you'll probably get a bunch of people, but, you know, people want to know, they want more information, they want to know what's going on now, you know, and they want to know, you know, who these beings are and the ones on the ships and everything else, you know, what their intentions are and what do they look like and things like that. You know, they want more. And that's why I look at it. As I said, God, you know, I'd like to go to that conference and hear these people, but you know, it's like, one, where are the women? You know, they've been kind of censored out of the story. And you know, talking about any spiritual heart connection, and two, it's just like, it's just old news.
Yeah.
And where do you see all of this going? You were saying like around June, as well, that you were feeling that more stuff was going to come in and the shift was going to happen a bit more. Have you guys been getting any information on that?
Yeah, basically, what they told me over and over again was that. And I got a lot of trouble for this because at the other conferences, everybody said 2013, you know, the big shift was going to happen and we're all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya on Ascend, you know, and they all maxed out their credit cards and everything, you know, and I just said, not going to happen. I got a lot of shit for that, excuse my language, but when I said it wasn't going to happen. And so I said, one, they got it wrong because Mark Anthony did not become a Caesar for 5 years. And they're using they used to keep time by the Caesars. And so the calendar is 5 years off. So if you take 5 years and add that to, you know, 2012, you know, what do you have? You have 2017. And so, but we're building up to that. Like 2012, there was a shift and the energy, it was like a beginning and the energy is really building. I think the crescendo is going to be around 2017 is where it's going to peak out. But I mean, we're in the middle of it right now and everything is coming up and people are being prepared for this event or this big shift that's coming up. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. And there's a lot happening, you know, with media and different things and government. Yeah. To try and distract. So I guess it's about, you know, holding strong in your vibration and your, you know, your vision for what you want to have for that future too, and keep vibrating towards that future that you want to have. Because we're getting so much distraction type stuff here with what's happening with government and things.
Well, I don't know, because I'm not privy to news. Yeah, I haven't watched the news for that long. You saw when you were here, James. Don't turn on the TV or nothing. So I know that Sol knows a lot of what's going on just from, you know, whether people's sending stuff on Facebook or whatnot like that. But
if there's things we usually hear about it.
We somehow find out about it, but I don't buy into it. But what I am seeing is there's been more mentoring going on from the certain bands that are coming through at the moment. For example, Sol and I have had two Pleiadians come through, which are completely new group, and they're more like mentoring us on how to help others at the moment too. And I'm finding that there are other experiences that are being mentored in the same way by specific beings that maybe haven't been connected to on a human level before, but now these beings are starting to show up and they're going, all right, now that you've done this and that, now it's time for, you know, a new job to be done. And it's being done in such a way where, for example, with myself, there's been a lot of old programming and people I've had to release in terms of being allowed to do this new job, which I'm going into. And it's because of, it was like the dead weight, the heavy weight, or the people that were going to screw me over, they've all been revealed now. And now I can actually get on with the real work, which is why I'm getting the evidence that I'm getting. So there seems to be this catch-22 thing going on.
I've noticed that like these other guys are taking themselves out, you know, and I've had like all the people that used to throw daggers at me, you know, and like these UFO reporting centers and things like that. They're saying there is no activity here, and the Michael Horns and all these other people saying there's no evidence here whatsoever and everything else. I mean, nobody's even taking them seriously anymore. And if you are, you're totally not even not paying attention, you know, but these guys have all folded in on themselves, and you know they've established their character by attacking mine and validity of the ranch. And you know what I found out is I just keep putting out the evidence, just keep putting it out, putting it out, and they just fall away. You know, they I don't attack them or anything else. I just say, well, here's the evidence. But I've never seen anything like some of these people. It's like they're either possessed or you know the reptilians are. Have got them, or they have some other weird agenda. I don't know. They're either shills or government, you know, or something. But they're either total psychotic or they have an agenda, or you know, they have a paid agenda or whatever. That's the only thing I can figure out. But you know, it's just because they're not, you know, they don't use base logic and they're not rational anymore, and they're so easy to take down if you just want to, you know, bring up the evidence and just be logical about it, they just fall apart.
Yeah, it's definitely coming to that point now where people need to just either go with their heart or they can continue with the way they're going. And look, we talked to Ulukai Brendan Murray, you were there with him, one of the elders over here, going, look, there's got to be like immunity for these people, but if they're not going to change and they're going to continue with the same pattern, well, basically that's it. We just can't deal with it any longer. We can forgive and we can forget, but if the people aren't going to change their ways for the betterment of themselves and humanity, well, then it's time to just move on.
Yeah. And you know, I've been I think it's interesting because a lot of their information and a lot of the information that we've been getting, It's all tied into June, you know, around June or July this summer, you know, as some big events. And, you know, some of the things both of us are privy to, we can't really discuss, you know, right now, because I just out of honor, you know, some of the other information. But, you know, it's even without the information that we know, you know, from the elders and things like that, it's all seems to be coming up to this summer, you know, definitely. As a huge turning point, and just like people have to get with the program.
How is the response about some of the original papal information here that you've been able to tell some people over there? Has there been much of a response to the Egyptian and Pleiadian and original papal connection?
You know what? Everybody, I haven't had any resistance to it at all, but I know when I go to contact in the desert. And I'm going to refer them to Jim and is it Evan? Yeah.
Oh, Steve and Evan.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve and Evan. Strong. You know, I'm going to refer them to that. I'm just going to cover it and say, look, this is what's going down. This is the real history. It originated in Australia, and I'll show the petroglyphs and the other stuff and the hieroglyphs. But, And I'm just going, if you really want to research this, go to their site, and check it out and give them credit for it. But I know last year when I was there, some of the good old boys, the Egyptian people, they're into the ancient alien stuff and everything else, just blew a gasket when I told them that ETs built the pyramids, and that we're all ETs, they just blew a gasket. And they're still, some of them are still believing that, they did this with round rocks and chisels, and moved these stones with slaves. And I go, you gotta be kidding me, And he says, no, the Egyptian people built them. They just had technology. And I said, yeah, where'd they get the technology, And I said, where do you think the pharaohs came from? You think they're living here, So they go, well, the ancient civilizations were more advanced. And I said, yeah, they were, because they're colonies, from the stars. But they just couldn't handle that, And there's just a couple of them that really came unglued. I mean, one just threw a tantrum and tried to, where are your credentials? And I said, I don't need anything. I don't need any credentials. And I go, you're under the illusion that I need acceptance and approval from you or your family or your friends. I said, I don't. I'm just telling you what I know. And you can either use it or dump it. I don't care, But I said, all I know is all the evidence is pointing that direction. If you look at it without an agenda, without a vested interest, But a lot of these guys have written books and this all this information just really kind of turns what they've written upside down, and it shows. What's funny though, it really does in a way, because this went on in Africa as well. The only thing is it started in Australia.
Yeah.
And so really they wrote a chapter, but they think they wrote the whole book on human, Genesis, whatever. But they wrote a chapter in it, but the bottom line is that everything is as we experience, you and I both experience, and I even experience more of it. But everything points to the beginning was definitely Australia. And, Aboriginal is original, Aboriginal is the original people. It's really simple. And the genome experiment is pointing back to that. The gold coming from Ballarat, the Egyptian gold, and them coming back to get the knowledge they once have because they lost it. I mean, all of it points in that direction. And to me, I was actually trying to think of this, without attachment. Okay, so how could this have a flaw in it? What if they're right? What if they're right and I just went off half-cocked, and wanted to find something different, And, because I always do that. I always take the other side and really get clear with this. And I'm trying to figure out where I could have gone wrong in any of this, coming to that conclusion. And I find nothing, that supports that, that things didn't originate in Australia.
Yeah, and this is where it goes even further back. Like, we go back to the stars, like we can go back to Lyra, but then we go outside of our galaxy as well, and we find that what's going on in here on Earth and within the solar system and within our galaxy goes further out than that, and even goes into other universes. So how far things are, like you said, some people will think they've got the whole story, but like even with the information I've got pertaining to a lot of this, I don't think I've even got a quarter of a chapter done, and I've done 9 books now. So I just don't think I'm even touching 1% of what's going on, because it's far reaching, but you've just got to be open to it.
Yeah.
I think also, when we went and we explored the glyphs here in Sydney and saw the Pleiadian and the Aboriginal glyphs, just being in that energy and experiencing how that felt, that did not feel humanly so much. It felt otherworldly. And also getting a chance to lay in that that women's table, the Pleiadian healing table, and sort of experiencing and connecting up with that Pleiadian energy. So it was almost like going up on a Pleiadian craft. So I think, if people can get out of their heads and go to some of these physical places and look at, these amazing glyphs that are carved, not in the way which we would carve, because it's a different look, isn't it, Pete, that you see with the carvings?
Oh, and not just that, even the rock. And that's what the Strong said to me. They said, I'm not even an expert. And the first thing I mentioned to them was a different rock. And I think that rock had to have come, I forget where they said, but it was like miles or kilometres and kilometres away. And I just think people going into those spots, they need to be respectful, but they need to observe their thoughts. Because once you get out of mind chatter, you'll start to go in multidimensional mind, and that's when you can actually start to experience these things, whether in your third eye or vibration.
And that's kind of how we led that Indiana Jones trip through those glyphs. You know, talking to the grandmother tree, and you had an amazing experience with that grandmother tree. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when you did the ceremony. Before you went in, there was
we did this smudging ceremony. Yeah.
And then the way the energy went in the smudging, I remember you went one way and then you went the other way, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so when I went and I put my hands on the tree, all of a sudden I started spinning the exact same way as the ceremony that we did before we went in. And I thought that was quite interesting. Yeah, because a lot of people will do the ceremony and that's cool, and then they'll go up and have the experience and everything else. But when you're really sensitive to energies, and you go, that's why that ceremony, that's why you do that ceremony. You're preparing people.
And that was taught to me from the original people too, that particular way of smudging that ceremony.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe do some of that while we're here.
Would be great.
I love that I said to Evan Strong, just to get us to that tree and we'll take it from there. And then when we spoke to him afterwards, we went the exact way he would have told us to go anyway without any guidance.
That was funny.
And remember, there's a way you're not supposed to go because it'll really mess you up.
Yeah.
And
we
walked up there and went, oh, we can't go that way. And it did logically seem like the way we should have gone.
Well, it was so close to it, but...
I got a sick feeling when we started to get near there. I'm like, oh, that feels wrong. Something feels wrong. Like, it did seem logical, though.
But there's
more and more sacred sites being discovered across the world right now. Like, just over the last 5 years, it seems like that there's more and more places and pyramids and things being uncovered everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I had one person tell me that they asked me, they said, well, you know, in the documentary, they loved the documentary, but they said, I want to hear more from the Aboriginal people. And I said, well, you good luck in getting them on camera. I said, most of them don't even want to be on camera. And most of them don't want to tell the stories. They don't want to let it out. And for good reason, you know, and, you know, they don't want to be targeted later and things like that. And also, too, I just said that, you know, it's a lot of this information they're allowing Ulukai Brendan, you know, Murray to be a spokesman, and he has to be careful on how much he says, you know? So I said, just to get what we did get was a major gift.
Yeah. People have got to understand that, like when I first met Brendan, I rocked up there with Sol and said, look, I've got no idea why I'm here, but I'm here.
Oh, and we had the Ravens welcome us too on the way.
Yeah.
On the way there. And this is where I had experiences, before meeting Brendan, leading to that I'd be finding meeting places, like multi-dimensional meeting places, and be working with some of the elders. And I just laughed at this. And here I am doing that now. And I just want to say it's such a privilege, not only to be working with you, James, but also Ulukai Brendan Murray, because to be basically some of the chosen people, yourself and me and Sol included, to work with Brendan and to get this information out, they never, like... To be one of the first people, I think even the first publicly doing a show with him to put out the real reason behind Uluru and what Uluru is, that alone is a privilege, let alone all the other information that we've put out through and with Brendan. So, you know, they don't want a lot. There's a lot of stuff that I cannot go into, but what we can, you know, we get Brendan to say himself and we sort of say what we can. And Brendan's doing it hard too. Like, he's back in a tent in freezing temperatures out here with his family, and we donate to him when we can. We've actually started up a PayPal account for him, and I'm about to set up an account where people can go and donate themselves. So if anybody can do that, just contact Sol or myself, because he's a king, as he calls himself, the poorest king in the world. He's, you know, living with the tent with his family, and like at the moment we're going into winter here and it doesn't snow too far from us, and
it is quite a bit colder though where he is.
Yeah, I'm wearing a snow jacket sitting in my lounge room, so you know, it's getting cold. But I just want to say how much of a privilege and an honor it is to work with Brendan and yourself, because they've revealed that now's the time to slowly release this information. And with a lot of the information, not only are there ancient sites, but there is some scientific evidence pertaining to certain things to back up these claims. and shows the huge connection between the Pleiadians and the original people, which go even further off-world and even more multidimensional than what people can even perceive.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting. Oh God, I'm trying to remember his name. Was it Wally or what was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Wally and Pancake.
Yeah,
yeah. Those guys really cracked me up, and they had some stories. I wish we could have gotten them on film, you know, a little more and sat down with them. But I was blown away when I was describing those people, and he goes, "Oh yeah, that's the Janabi." He goes, "You saw them?" You know, and he was shocked that I actually saw some of their spiritual beings, you know, out in the outback there in Uluru, and you know, the grandmothers and all the other stuff. So it's like, you know, I think if we had more time and, you know, developed a little more trust, we could probably get a lot more information. And I know that's working with Stephen and Evan, you know, they're kind of watching to see how this is accepted, how it's disseminated. You know, hopefully Ancient Aliens doesn't make a mess out of it, which I would be surprised, you know, if they actually didn't add their two cents in and alter it. But maybe, you know, maybe they'll do justice out of it. I thought it was interesting how they wouldn't meet with us, you know, there, that we were supposed to be part of that show or whatever. Or they wanted to meet with us, and all of a sudden it just got shut down. So I get a little leery when I see that, you know, when I see them trying to control, you know, the information or control the people involved, you know. But, you know, you never know. They may do a good job. They may not. But I think it's kind of interesting that we got it out first.
Yeah.
With our documentary, we got the information out first. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's just about getting the information out. And that's why, you know, I promised Brendan, in working with yourself and others, anything I ever get out there, I do it as uncut as possible so people can see it as if they'll sit standing there or sitting in front of you hearing his talk, because that way there's no sort of, you know, cutting or editing done on the editing room floor where they can spin things around to suit an agenda and, you know, not be really what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I know what they shared with them was just the tip of the iceberg. They didn't really go into depth on some of the information that we're privy to. So it'll be interesting how that comes out. That's one time I think I will make sure and watch the show and see what they do with it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's all unfolding right now. I think people are starting to realize, you know, basically, you know, that our human history has been, we've been totally lied to, and that information has been suppressed by the, you know, the powers that be or whatever were, and the religious, you know, institutions and the government institutions and all that stuff. People are starting to figure out that, you know, you can't trust almost anything they say. You know, that's what George Carlin said. I love what he said. He said, you know, and he said, "I've come to believe that everything the government tells me is a lie." You know, and he goes, "Whenever I hear it's coming from them, I just right away I just consider it a lie, you know. So or it's being twisted or whatever." But you know, it's like what I think is this information is coming out no matter what. It's coming out in every genre, you know. And people are starting to wake up fast and going, "Wait a second, you know what's wrong with this picture?" And starting to demand answers.
Yeah, I think it's just important. I want to add here for people to not have hate or ill thoughts towards these powers, these Archon reptilian network, because that actually feeds it. It's just you've got to recognize it, don't work with it, and send love and positive thoughts their way, that they too can get on their path and go on their path of evolution again, outside of source, though within source, if people understand what I'm saying, because that's just going to do nothing except affect the cellular and like the geometric pattern of the light grid of the body and everything else like that. It's going to affect that, and that only affects them. So, like I say to people, delve into all this stuff and be aware of, you know, the Illuminati, the reptilians, whatever, but don't send hate or just be that angry, that because it's, you know, it brings you down rather than, you know, help fix and, you know, resurrect what's been done.
And also not letting it hold you back. You know, if you are feeling like that energy is around, or that, you know, you're being overwhelmed with that kind of presence, it's good to be able to, you know, put it in perspective, shrink it down. Sometimes I like to visualize it you know, if I'm feeling that around, visualize it as an ant or the size of a pinprick, you know, possibly switch that picture to black and white, take the emotion out of it, take the energy out of it, and start building myself up to be feeling, you know, bigger and feeling that my energies are being more productive and aligned with where I want to go.
Yeah. I always say, you know, they you can't beat them with nasty. I mean, they are the lords of nasty. So you're not going to beat them with nasty. But love is the ultimate power and self authority. And when you can maintain your self authority and hold those higher frequencies of love and joy and bliss, then you got them.
And it kind of irritates them a bit too.
I noticed that. You know, they are so afraid of, especially the divine feminine energy, just rocks their boat really hard. They just do not like that at all. And they're almost like they're a little kid, like a bad little kid running away from mama. You know, when that energy comes in, they know they've misbehaved, and they know they can't, you know, go forward with this. And I think they know if they mess with mama, papa's going to be right around the corner. You know? So, you know, there's some kind of an energy there that they really do not like whatsoever. And they don't want to have anything to do with that, especially that divine feminine energy when there's self-authority, you know, connected to it.
And that's something, you know, I want to thank you for, you know, for the people as well, is helping to get out the female perspective and things, because that's what I try to do with my show, though. I've stopped doing my show now, for those unaware. And Soul's got her own show now called Soul Life. And it's mainly focusing on helping to get out the female perspective, because...
And I've had James on.
You've had James and you've had me on as well. But, you know, it's, you know, thank you for the work you're doing, James. Yeah, because James, not only, you know, do you cover all areas, but really the women have not really had an outlet or a focus point or a place where they can share their information and stories, because, you know, mainstream ufology groups do not want to hear about some of the experiences or information. They want the nuts and bolts or the same old Roswell story or whatever. Yeah, so thank you for what you're doing pertaining to that.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I had somebody say something to me. It was kind of funny because, you know, I was doing an event and they added a woman to the event and everything. They said, well, you know, you men just can't take over, you know, everything. You know, we got to have some women in there. And I said, apparently you haven't followed my work. You know, so I told her, I said, you know, we always have more women than men at the conference. And every once in a while, you know, the sad thing about it is there's just not a lot of women out there right now, because a lot of them have just walked away from it.
Yeah.
And just said, you know, I'm done. You know, I don't want to deal with it anymore. And it's sad, you know, so. But, you know, I always try to support, you know, the feminine energy in women. And, you know, if it wasn't for women, I wouldn't be here right now, because basically I have a mom that gave birth to me. And Mary actually saved my life when I was a kid. You know, I was dying, and she came to me and actually saved my life. And so I've always had a close connection with that and deep appreciation for that feminine energy. But, you know, it's like, it's too bad you know, that has been suppressed for so long, but I think that's coming to a close real quick. And, you know, I don't know about over there, but over here we have a woman, I think it's a woman, I'm not sure what it is, running for president. And the women are finally figuring it out. Before, they're all gung-ho, yeah, we want a woman in there, we want a woman in there. Now they're going, wow, she's not really a woman. She doesn't represent, you know, what I would, you know, what would see as a powerful woman, or a woman in touch with her heart, you know, and that has a divine nurturing energy. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. So I'm really glad that women are starting to go, wait a second, you know, this is a man in a woman suit and whatever, and something else, you know, going on there too. And they're starting to see through it. So, you know, I think, you know, it's important that women do not try to be a man, you know. Your power comes from being authentic and being a woman, you know. We men do everything for the woman, you know. It's like, you know, we buy the fancy cars and the big houses and you know, try to bring down the big bucks, everything. You know, we don't do that for ourselves. 99% of the men are doing it to snag a woman, you know. Yeah. So the power is really with that divine feminine love, and that love and nurturing is what I think is the most valuable thing on the planet right now. And so don't walk away from that, and don't shut it down, and And please don't try to be a man. You know, it's
And I think there is something really important, you know, especially for women to be authentic and to come from the heart and to not feel that they have to cater to, you know, to the male dynamic or male perspective, or to have to, you know, be solely just on an intellectual or a mental basis with delivering the information. You know, a lot of our areas do come from the heart and, you know, come from intuition and come from, you know, from the ability to be able to kind of, you know, go on the fly with spirit a bit and to be able to filter some, you know, and bring some of this information through, which, you know, I see you as a really good balance, James, and Pete too, with how you guys bring through your information, because you do connect with that spirit side of things that isn't just, you know, solely like a mental side of things. You guys have a really good balance with how you both bring through that information.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, I always tell people, when you look at energy dynamics, that, you know, basically the way things are set up is that we need to be subjective to spirit, and then the objective side carries that, the will of spirit, out. And so women by nature are more subjective, they're more subjective, more sensitive, and the emotions are how you access the higher dimensions. It's not through the mind. The intellect is just a drop in the sea of consciousness. But unfortunately, the male ego and the intellect has just taken over and taken charge and taken the reins. And, you know, it's the most unconscious it's the most inadequate and unconscious, you know, part of your being that you could, you know, it's like you're letting the servant be the master, or you're letting, like, the, I don't know, you're running on 10%, you know, when you could be running on 100, you know, so,
yeah.
So it's like, but I think people are starting to figure that out, is that, you know, really our leadership should be chosen according to their spiritual adeptness and their track record of service to humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus how much power and wealth they've accumulated, you know, at whose expense, basically. And that, unfortunately, that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. No, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah.
People ask me, who are you voting for? And I said, I'm voting for a council of grandmothers.
You know? God, wouldn't that change the world?
Oh, yeah, it would totally turn it around. But I really have faith in it, because I have some inside knowledge and things. And I think that all the shenanigans and all the warmongers and all the other, you know, war profiteers are all going to be seen for who they are and what they've done. And I think that's all coming up, you know, within the next year and a half or so. So it's, you know, I feel really good about things. I just don't think anything is going to be hidden, you know, in the next year and a half.
Yeah. I think if people aren't authentic with who they truly are, I think, you know, that's going to come undone. And that's what I've been saying with Pete, you know, for the last probably year and a half now, just with people that are, you know, living false lives or, you know, spreading false things, that they're going to come undone in themselves. You know, we don't need to do anything but stand back and just hold our own energy, and they're really going to unravel.
And I think if ever anyone's going to be a critic, be your own worst critic, so that can make a better you of service to others. Yeah.
Exactly. I love that old saying that Byron Katie said, you know, there's your business, there's other people's business, and there's God's business. And your business is your business, and other people's business is God's business. You know,
yeah.
We just apply that to our lives and stop with all the gossip and the mudslinging, you know, that we would definitely, you know, take a quantum leap in evolution.
Definitely.
Yeah. Overnight.
Yeah. I mean, I won't even go into detail, but, you know, with Swami Beyondananda, I guess you heard that one, that interview. And it's like both of us were accused of all this stuff. And I go, well, where was I when all this happened? You know, I missed it. I guess I totally missed it. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but there are people out there that, and I don't know if it's because they're possessed or they're victims or what programs they're running, but I mean, they will refuse to take a look at their inside and what they're doing, and the fact that they maybe could be wrong, or, you know, had some major assumptions or wrong conclusions. But it's like, you know, it's almost funny, you know, and to me too, I never apologize for being a male. You know, I'm sorry, you know, Jesus wasn't neutered. You know, if you knew about his earlier years, you would not think of him as such the saint, you know, that, the same program that the people have projected on him. You know, he was a human. He was a human being. You know, he had relationships. He had, you know, quite a few, actually.
Well, it's part of the human experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of the human experience. And so we have to get away from these archetypes that religions have projected on us, you know, and judging others according to these archetypes, because a lot of them are false. You know, they're false archetypes. But be that as it may, so what do you feel is happening over there in Australia right now? Do you think people are starting to move in the right direction? Do you see like a pulse where people are kind of like demanding freedom and demanding an end to the deceptions and the chemtrails and all the other nonsense?
Yeah, we've got that going on too. But I think it's also, you know, it's people, we've just had Mercury retrograde. So like a lot of everyone we've talked to, not just in Australia, but worldwide, their stuff is coming up big time right now and really trying to get them aligned with what they should be doing and getting them aligned with what makes them happy too. So, you know, not needing to do a job to earn a certain amount of money. It's doing what makes their heart feel good. So we've got that going on one side of things. And then we've got contact happening where it is seeing the physical stuff in the sky, but then, you know, coming inside and having that sort of more spiritual contact going on. So we've got the beings really assisting and working with us right now to help bring a forward movement with this change and integration. It's like we're trying to integrate, you know, the good aspects of the old world or the old vibration and help that be a foundation to building like a new way or a new earth. I mean, we do have a bit of stuff that was happening to do with the government and to do with medicinal cannabis oil and things like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, that was going on while you were here, so that's still moving ahead, which is a big change for Australia to be able to have a bit more of a choice in how they look after their bodies or, you know, what kind of medicines they ingest. But then on the flip side of that, we've got, you know, the more forced vaccination happening, you know, to do with being allowed into childcare and preschool and things like that. So it's almost like we've got an exact opposite of forces happening. It's a really interesting time where we are having change come about, but at the same time, the old system's rearing its ugly head in some ways.
I think people are, the average Joe is more open, but I won't say what I think about the rest because I'll probably get, there'll be 100 beeps after it.
Exactly. Yeah, over here they're murdering the doctors right and left that are coming out with the cures, you know, and the GC math and the stuff like that, you know, they're curing cancer, they're curing everything, and they're just murdering them right and left because they can't stop them from going public and they can't stop them from working with people now because because of the movement, you know, it's going in a good direction. But, you know, we still have the FDA and we still have these other guys in there. But I thought it was interesting, like even Trump was on not getting into politics, but, you know, he just said, you know, I'm going to investigate the FDA and I'm going to have them arrested, you know, for what they've done, you know, and for the corruption and the revolving door out of the big pharma and everything. And, you know, these guys are actually bringing this right out into the mainstream and for everybody to look at. So I think when that happens, then the people are going to move on it. You know, the information comes out first, everybody's aware of it, and then finally enough people just say, okay, we're done.
Yeah,
and it's going to move in that direction. You know, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you and get in touch with your services and the things you offer?
Yeah, well, there's petermaxwellslattery.com and there's soulreaderpsychicreadings.com and there's also esetiaustralia.org.
And just Googling our names.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff, definitely lots of footage and things we've put up. And the 27th of next month, you're probably going to hear my voice yelling out, "Gillyland, where are ya?" At probably about 7 at night, because we're flying to Portland and I'm getting in a car and driving on the wrong side of the road to get to your joint. So we'll see you soon.
All right. Yeah, I can hardly wait. And,
we can't wait to see all of you there and see Joseph and Ashley too.
Yeah, give our love to Joseph and Ashley too.
Definitely will.
They're amazing beings.
Anyway, so I can't wait for the July 4th conference, and I know both of you will be speaking here, and I'm sure we'll be out having a lot of fun in the field, filming the ships and all the other things going on. And again, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on the show and the work you're doing too, and I can't wait to see you.
No, thank you too.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, James. Can't wait to give you a big hug in person.
All right, have a great one.
See you, mate.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies and stay in the heart. Good night.